Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm Gavin Emmett, and this is the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. Today I'm joined by Keith Ewan and Julian Ryder at Assen ahead of the Dutch TT, round 8 of the MotoGP World Championship. Since we last spoke, of course, first things first, the funeral of Luis Salom took place in Mallorca. Loads of the MotoGP fraternity were out there as well, from the big bosses, riders like Jorge Lorenzo, the Marquez brothers. That kind of thing. And it's 3 weeks now, obviously, since that sad occurrence when we were in Barcelona. But now, when the riders come to Assen, clearing their minds?
I think their minds are clearer, obviously. And I think also they've had that time to reflect on some of their responses, which were a little less than perfect, perhaps, after Luis Salom. The press conference got a bit bitter on the Saturday night, didn't it? And a lot of to-ing and fro-ing between some of the top riders. But I think looking on the positive side, Gavin, Jules, if I might, is that Valentino Rossi and Jorge Lorenzo have both agreed to do the safety commission meetings now. And I think Bradley Smith, who was brilliant as ever, Bradley as an orator, is great. He comes up with very valid points. And he basically had a proper go at the some of the main men that were now voicing opinions, or were then voicing opinions, about something that they weren't interacting. It's like having a vote and not using it.
Yeah, and moaning about the result. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I think that now Valentino and Jorge are taking part in that. And big names like that make things happen.
I couldn't agree more. And we're talking now on the Friday, aren't we? So the Safety Commission meets this evening to talk about what to do about that corner in Barcelona.
Well, I mean, the amazing thing is, I think, as Gav was looking at me there to get straight in on it, is that some of the questions that were asked were, why did they not see that chink in the armour of safety at Catalunya? And I can answer that. And me and Hodgie have discussed this in the car and since, that it's something when you go and do your walk, your track walk, you ride around on your motorbike, whatever you do, you run around, you're looking at your racing line, you're looking at the curbs, you're looking at the grip, you're looking at the track, the ripples in the track, the tarmac changes and all the other things. You're actually not looking at where you're going to end up if you crash. So I think from a rider perspective, it's very difficult. I mean, I'm sure riders are now focusing on that, and we'll see more flaws in tracks, and we will see more interaction amongst it. But I think right up to that point, and it's so rare that we have someone killed now in MotoGP, that it's not been fresh in everybody's mind to look for that kind of thing.
Yes, it's. Valentino mentioned other corners, like the last corner at Jerez, going out under the oval circuit at Motegi, for instance, other questionable safety corners.
I know Catalunya. I've run around Catalunya, and do you know what? I never ever noticed that strip of tarmac without gravel on it at that point. I mean, it's only going to affect you if you crash in a straight line. In other words, in the wet on the brakes.
And we've heard from the team, it seemed he hit a bump.
Well, there is a slight change of tarmac there, I think, at that point. And he was later on the brakes than he'd been because he was slower onto that straight.
Big on an outlap.
On an outlap. So, therefore, he braked a little later. So, it wasn't quite the same scenario as he'd been used to. And that's what cost him. But when we saw it, we only saw it from a CCTV footage, which was side on, looking back up from the final turn. And he didn't decelerate across when he crashed. He didn't decelerate. Me and Hodgie looked at each other horrified. There was no retardation in speed. But then when you looked at the helicopter overhead of just the track, obviously they didn't show us the pictures of it, you could see there was tarmac there. And we both looked at each other and thought, how can that be? We'd not noticed.
Yeah, it's...
So should Franco and Trini have noticed?
I'm not going to point the finger at anybody. I think collectively as a group, we all have safety.
You explained it, didn't you, at the top? Everyone's thinking about safety.
Everybody, all the time. No one ever takes their eye off the ball. Yeah. But it just goes to show you that with a moment of complacency... If that is the case, we missed that.
That's exactly what Bradley Smith said, wasn't it? When he said, as a safety commissioner, have I somehow failed in my duty by not noticing this?
Well, the thing is, obviously it did happen. It was a tragic occurrence. The team is back out racing this weekend. One-man team of Jessica Raffin for the rest of the year. Really nice that the team are out there. I think that will do his memory justice as well.
I think that's the perfect way for a team to respond, is that they are a professional outfit. They need to be represented at this level still. So the fact they keep their rider out there, they haven't folded up the whole operation, but yet they do not replace the fallen man. I think that's a very respectful way of continuing.
And of course, to bring it back to earth, you keep 15 people and more in jobs.
Which is a real tough ask nowadays, particularly at that level.
Well, the show must go on, as we do say. But as the signs all said in Catalonia, Luis Salom will always be in our hearts. One positive thing as well, if we can say that in inverted commas, to come out of it, was the Rossi and Marquez truce almost. The handshake in Parc Fermé, hands on shoulders following the race in the press conference as well. I'm not sure that we can call them friends right now, but the comment that I heard from Marc Marquez was, at least we know there's respect amongst us once more.
It was a fitting finale to a tragic and an emotional weekend. And I think that you know, it might have been a bit through gritted teeth, but I think Valentino responded properly, Marc Marquez responded properly in Parc Fermé. I don't know about you, Jules, but I had a bit of a warm heart when I saw that after a very, very emotional weekend.
Perspective.
Completely. Marquez went over towards Valley in Parc Fermé, went to put his hand out, and Valentino was straight there to shake his hand.
Yeah, there were no hesitation.
Nothing at all.
No.
But we know they're not really friends again. They'll still be out there racing. And we remember last year here at this circuit, this is where the feud really started.
They didn't shake hands before the press conference on Thursday, I might add.
It's a deep wound at the end of the day. And also, you mustn't mistake focus for unfriendliness. You know, you look at some of these guys nowadays, they don't talk, you know, before, after or during. You know, they're focused so much on what they're doing. Look at the Formula One guys when they've just finished a Formula One race. If I take it away from our own group and go somewhere else completely, they don't even talk to each other. There's the three that are going to go off on the podium in a moment. They're in that little room at the back and they hardly talk to each other. Focus, and they're downloading all the information that's just come through from the race that they've got in their head that they want to debrief with. And it is literally, they're like machines with focus nowadays. And I sometimes wonder whether we misinterpret perhaps unfriendliness. I'm not saying they are friends, because they're not.
Because they're
probably not. Yeah,
indeed.
Absolutely.
But why should they be? They're not required to be friends.
They shared a little bit of a joke, didn't they, in the press conference, both at least laughing at each other, which hadn't been happening.
I have to say that Marc Marquez handled it very well. And Valentino, he didn't look like he wanted to laugh, but he couldn't help himself because it was funny.
I agree completely. Marquez has led Valentino in this, like the arm around each other in the press conference after Barcelona. Marc put the arm on the shoulder. Valentino looked extremely discomforted and gave a one-word answer to a question, squeaked, yes, you know. I think Marc has
come of age. He's managing the plot, isn't he, at the moment?
Of course, in previous years, the man who would have managed that scenario, Valentino, would have them all on strings.
Another big talking point out of Barcelona was Andrea Iannone, and he's going to start this Grand Prix from the back of the grid. That's the decision that the race director handed down. He's been fastest in the two free practice sessions so far this weekend that we've had here at Assen. But you both said, actually, in commentary, you thought he may be banned for the race. I've heard other people say that was it was a red card offence, that kind of thing. What are your thoughts on it now?
I think the emotional side of it says red card, yes. But, I mean, when you look at the implications and the implementation of the rules, I think Mike Webb has been very fair. I think emotionally people don't feel it's enough. It's not enough of a slap of the wrist. Some people even got to the point where they say it's going to be even less safe having Iannone trying to carve his way through the field. And there is that Twitter. I put it on my Twitter feed again. You know, the picture of the JCB digger with the number 29 on it coming through from the back. He's going to scoop them all up from behind. But
I was off expecting someone to mock up him stood at the top of a bowling alley.
I think that probably has been. I think I've seen something like that. Was that on your Twitter?
Not me. I'm not that good with Photoshop. But he's crashed from four of the seven races so far this year. We know he's now going to be joined by Alex Rins in that Suzuki team. They won't be regretting any decision they've made, will they?
No, because he's fast. No. You're seeing him at the top of the two. There's no way that a professional works team is going to be ashamed of signing someone that's actually that quick. And I still think out of the two, out of Dovizioso and Andrea Iannone, Ian Only still has the most potential in future. I still think he is going to be the faster man of the two.
It's a question of can it that potential be realised and managed?
He's made two completely stupid cock-ups.
Well, 09 Misano.
I'm talking this year. This year, thank you.
I'm not going to go too historic.
If we're going to go back that far, start thinking Lorenzo when he got race bans. Yep, Marquez. I mean, all these guys, are, there are so many riders that you can pick on regarding misdemeanours.
But I particularly enjoyed the 09 one with Paulo Espargaró at the last corner with Misano, because not only did Iannone scoop him up, he then punched him in the sandpit and made borderline racist remarks about the Spaniards afterwards.
What have we learned from first practice here in MotoGP? As we say, it was a Iannone top. It was Dovizioso behind him earlier on today. Marquez looks like he found something in the afternoon session.
I think Marquez found Marquez. I think the Honda is horrendous. I think that Honda looks... I mean, the look on that thing round here. I mean, it looks like a motorbike that's trying to bite your arm off at any given time. It's just... I think of it as like a rabid dog. You know, it's in the corner of your mate's house. You dare not put your hand out to it because you know it's going to bite you.
Well, Danny Pedrosa, I was out watching out on track and him coming out of the shrub in the tight left-hander first gear corner. He's changing up.
So early to try and keep the power off of it.
Exactly, because obviously he's thinking, I can't.
And it's still shaking its head all the way down the straight. I mean, the thing is absolutely shaking its head everywhere.
Marquez said on Thursday, the difficult tracks, he thought, were going to be Mugello and Barcelona.
Rossi within 4,000ths of Andrea Iannone. And that's ominous, isn't it? He was on pole to victory here last year.
And like I said about Marquez, that was Valentino Rossi who did that. He just went out and banged that in. Andrea Iannone beat him by 4,000ths of a second, I think, in the end to top slot in FP2. But I tell you what, Valentino, that's going to be Jorge's downfall, is seeing his teammates. He's had a bit of a strike. He's been all attitude, hasn't he, this weekend so far?
And this Jorge's memories of this place, really, in Moto Grand Prix years, are not good. He was brilliant here in 125, 250. And this is a place, if Jorge Lorenzo can get a good result out of this place...
He'll be on his way.
But, 22 points separating them. He's in the middle, 10 behind Marquez, Rossi in third.
That's the only good thing to come out of the intervention, isn't it? That brings Valentino Rossi back into play, I suppose, because that 10th world title was looking like that was not going to happen.
Another announcement we got in the press conference was Alex Rins moving to Suzuki for next year. What do you make of that decision? Good move?
Yeah, good move. I think the thing I liked about that press conference is how he came to that decision. I mean... Do you know what astounds me, Julian, of being an old fella like you nowadays, is that these kids make decisions, mature decisions, at such a young age.
They've been a professional motorcycle racer for so long already.
But he looked at it. He said the Suzuki family. He spoke with Maverick Vinales about it. He did his due diligence all over the place as to what it was like to ride with them. And at the end of the day, the decision was made, I think, pretty much. That family tilt was the one that actually put it in the bag for Suzuki.
Where does this leave Aleix Espargaró? Because we were expecting him yesterday to sign for Aprilia. I've read stories today that Stefan Bradl said, I'm not continuing at Aprilia for next year, which we pretty much knew. That's a done deal, isn't it?
And Bautista is going to Aspars for next year.
Well, wasn't he supposed to be Aleix on the presser on Thursday, but he missed his flight here. And I thought that was to make that announcement.
I think everyone thought that, really. And... I think that will happen at some point. They might save it till Monday now to not get in amongst the weekend's
news. There is one ride outside of this paddock still open for grabs that these people might want, which is the second factory Ducati seat in World Superbike alongside Chas Davies.
Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be people looking at it. There's
Eugene
Laverty.
Yeah, I would think at the moment, because obviously the Bautista angle there is...
Well, Bautista's come out and said, he's come out and said today that he feels... Aprilia has not told him he doesn't have a deal for next year. As far as he's concerned, he's still got options there. Says his options are 50-50, but we know Sam Lowe's there. We think Aleix Espargaró is going. Be interesting to see which way that one goes. Aprilia, I know, do want to have a third bike. They'd like to have a third bike out there.
Is the Bautista deal with Aspar done, or are we?
No,
that's the thing. That's what I'm.
Don't think it's done. I think he's talking to Aspar, Vintia as well. I think to look at your options.
So, what I've heard then is maybe over-egging the pudding.
Go on.
that maybe the deal isn't done. Maybe he's just talking to him.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds
everybody
like
talks
it.
To everybody.
Of course they do. Yeah. You'd be remiss in your duty if you didn't, wouldn't
and,
you?
And in terms of Eugene Laverty, he'll be still talking to people. Yeah. He's still waiting for something from
it's
Aspar
the great thing
as
of being
well,
on the media and the press side of things is you're trying to dig these things out, winkle them out, isn't it? Yeah. And it was amusing, again, we go out to the press conference. The second press conference of Thursday that we don't normally get was Mike Trimby, Carmelo Espeleta, of course, CEO of Dorna, and Hervé Poncherol, president of Erta. And Carmelo Espeleta, who is a star performer, he's a man that he's small, he's old, man, he's powerful, and he looks at you through those eyes and you want to die. And when he rounded on Paolo Scalera was the funniest thing I've ever
Italian
seen.
Italian journalist who is known as the most cantankerous journalist in the whole of
and he
the
got
motorsport.
Such a slapping
the
in
man
public.
Who, you're the man who Barry Sheen called Scandalera. That's how far back Scalera's stirring.
Yeah, probably a Barry, record Barry's goes. Provided quite a lot of scandals for Scalera to get involved in, I would think, if my memory serves me correctly.
I think you're correct.
The rides are running out, though, aren't they? Now, Cal Crutchlow looks like he's on signing on the dotted line, or at least the option for next year has been taken up between LCR and himself.
But that now puts him out of sync. Everyone else is on a two-year deal, and suddenly he's only got a one-year deal. And if
sometimes it can be a blessing.
It can be, but not if all the good bikes are done for two-year deals, which they are.
It'll be interesting to see. It looks as though LCR will stay with Honda. The talk of Suzuki and possibly Aprilia was something else I'd heard, I think was more of a bargaining chip.
I think he was chasing. And again, he was talking with everyone. And didn't he sack his manager?
Well, yeah, he's no longer with obviously his management team as before. I think he's looking after it himself now.
There you go. So, yeah. I mean, he's free to do whatever he wants to do. But, I mean, I think there is no choice, really. And that Honda will get that Honda right eventually. Maybe next year.
That's what we said last year. I agree with you completely.
That's true, we did.
So Mark VDS is the next question. Jack Miller's a Honda employee, we'll assume, will stay. Tito Rabat thinking of dropping back to Moto2 because he ain't enjoying the experience.
Had heard that. Do you think that's got credibility now? Because I remember mentioning that to you and you weren't too happy to hear it from me at that point.
Mickey Vandermark.
Yeah, you see, Mickey
I've
Vandermark.
Heard he's on the radar of Ducati, though. I've heard Ducati are keen to get him into their fold.
Yeah, but a Dutchman somewhere. In MotoGP on a Honda, I mean.
There is even talk of Mickey Vandermark going to Mark VDS, but in the Moto2 team. Ex-World
Supersport
champion.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd assumed it was get him in on the Moto Grand Prix bike, but what I was sort of told this morning was, well, actually, yeah, maybe, but the maybe for a year first on a
so
Moto2
much to look
bike.
For. I tell you what, this year has been really the feature of this year is talking about next year. Yeah, I mean, even though we're in the middle of a great year,
isn't it? I was speaking to Lucio Ciccinello about Cal Crutchlow's, and he said normally we're not making these decisions. Okay, we're making the decisions, but nobody knows about them until Bruno or later in the year, and that all came from that first round of Rossi signing up for another couple of years with Yamaha and Bradley Smith to KTM, and it just set
the domino rally in motion,
didn't it?
Yeah.
Moving on to Moto2, Alex Rins, we know, moving on to Suzuki, but the man of the moment is Johann Zarco, wins in the last two races in Italy and in Barcelona, won here last year as well. The world champion might have had a bit of a slow start to the season, but he's back in the groove now.
Do you know what? I wonder if we always talked about Zarco's slight fragility in the past of being able to put it together. And he has quite often mentioned that Aki Ayo, his manager, and the team that he has around him now really have smoothed his path out and his system out. And I wonder if the negotiations to go to a MotoGP team, because they've now been settled, been sorted over the last few weeks, whether that has calmed him back into that wonderful rhythm that he's found again in Moto2.
I think you've got a point, because I was on the point, certainly after three or four races this year, I was going to make the silly mistake of saying Zarco's out the championship hunt.
Well, and whatever happens now, he's not with the Suzuki in the Suzuki 8-hour. Norihaga has come in for that one.
He tested the MotoGP bike, didn't he, in Japan?
Love to know what he thought about that, because a completely neutral,
he said he loved it,
untainted view. I'm sure he would have done, because it's a MotoGP
bike.
But
he wasn't allowed to talk about it.
Was there a...
He said, I enjoyed it, but I'm not allowed to,
so there was
go
a,
any deeper.
Non-disclosure. That's interesting. So. Yeah, you were right, Jules.
Yeah. So, but the talk is he'll join Tech 3 in MotoGP next year. We'll just have to wait and see more on that. But
it'll be Sachsenring. Hervé tells me Sachsenring.
Yeah, he said that pretty much himself. Sam Lowes needs to find something here, though, doesn't he? To claw back. It's not okay. He's second in the championship, but it's almost the confidence. The run that he was on at the beginning.
If we're talking about share values, to get the Hodgson analogy back,
he loves that stock value, doesn't he?
Rins is going up, Zarco's is shooting up, and Sam is sort of plateaued and looking a bit wobbly.
This is the round that sorts it all out. Assen is the round that we're at round eight now. Sam has got to find that at the moment the gap between the top three and Moto 2 is very close still, points wise.
10 points between all three?
Something along those lines. Might be 12 actually. I'm not
10
sure.
Between it the three 10. Of them.
Okay, so 10. Sorry, my maths is still rubbish. 10 points between them, but Zarco winning here and Sam finishing off the podium is going to be a disaster for Sam.
Yeah.
And will he find that consistency for the rest of the year?
If Zarco makes it three in a row. Mm.
It's going to shoot one right across their bows.
In Sam's benefit this afternoon, he was the quickest behind Luti and Nakagami. So he's ahead of Rins, who had a big crash, and Zarco, who didn't push on from earlier on today. So it looks like, hopefully, we'll keep it tight in Moto2.
But this is Assen.
Yeah. Anytime I look at the record books and see that last year Zarco won from pole, I get nervous on behalf of Sam.
Just moving on to Moto3, finally, Jorge Navarro won in Barcelona, but since then, he's been out on a mini-moto bike, on a karting track, jumped off the top of it and broken his tib and fib, had an operation, not back here, won't be back until Sachsenring. And that means with Brad Binder having a 47-point advantage over him, that's even bigger, really, now, isn't it? Because Navarro's not going to score.
I think you say Sachsenring that he might be coming back for. The break, I've heard, was quite a nasty one.
Yeah.
And that may well, you know, you never know with complications on something like that when we get to Sachsenring. It might be another round jet that he can't ride properly for. And the fact is his confidence is going to take a knock anyway because he's going to be in great pain. It's only a short period of time.
Well, think how long it will have been off a bike.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We've got 3 week gaps between last time, this time and next time. And then a 4 week gap to...
And if you look at the man in third place, he's a huge amount of points further off. So Binder really has a massive... But then again, we were talking like that about Danny Kent at this point here at Assen.
Yeah, but we still felt, didn't we, that the likes of Oliveira were going to win races and win them regularly. At the moment, you're looking at Antonelli, throws it down the road. Looking at Frenati, not consistent enough. Bastianini just hasn't been there yet this season. It's all playing into the South Africans' camp at the moment.
The only man with consistency... is Binder, rostrum every race. About the only other bloke finishing top 10 all the time is Niccolò Bellega.
Yeah.
Who's just done another two-year deal with VR46 as well. So
deal,
that's
that.
A long, good deal
for
signed on
parties.
For Valentino. Oh, indeed it is, yeah. I think so. But getting back to Binder, they're going to be wrapping him up in bubble wrap, aren't they?
Oh,
because
yeah.
What happened to put it in context, what happened to Navarro can always happen to any other competitor.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure Brad's feet are firmly on the ground. Just a final word on Moto3. Danny Webb's back. Danny Webb's back amongst us, the boy from Tunbridge, Kent boy. And he's here this weekend.
That's a deep pool that he's just jumped into. Full of sharks.
Yes.
He's fresh from the Northwest and from the TT.
That says it all for me, because that is a different style of riding. And I think to get sharp again at this level, he's got to pick his pace up here at Assen.
Halfway through a year when,
it's gonna be
as you say, those sharks have had all the practice. I know he tested the bike pre-season.
But only once in February.
Yeah, yeah. That's not a great advantage.
And he wasn't helped by the fact that it was damp on the first
practice. Be interesting
to see
how his fitness is as well. I mean, a race fitness at Moto3 level for what he's got to do here, and particularly if the sun comes up and it's stinking hot here with a load of humidity like it could be.
It could very well be.
You know, his fitness is going to be something that... Is it sharp enough for this? I don't know. We'll find out.
I'd be surprised. He's spending his time earning his money as a van driver, so probably not.
Yeah, just to explain, he has come in to replace Carol Haneke, who has now finally been axed by that Platinum Bay real estate team. So we wish Danny Webb all the best this weekend. And I think we'll leave it there, because you can catch all of the live action with us starting on Saturday morning. We'll have all the free practice sessions for you live from 8 a.m. on BT Sport 2. Qualifying from 11 a.m. as well. Races on Sunday for the first time since 1925. I'm sure a few of you don't remember that one, but that was the last time they had a race here on Sunday. It is this year, though, to suit the fans, suit the TV schedules as well, so make sure you tune in on Sunday. We'll have all the races, warm-ups for you live as well, all on BT Sport 2. Thanks very much to Keith and to Julian. Make sure as well you download our review podcast following the race here in Assen, and as I say, Sunday is race day here for the Dutch TT. Make sure you join us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.